I wanted to start it off and say big brr, but I was like, this episode is six. That's going to be contradictory. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey, look, what's y'all rule best song, though?
He's got a lot of hits. He's got a lot of hits.
Clap back, easily.
Yeah, I'll punch you.
it ain't clap back.
That was like one of his worst.
Nah, it was hot. It's one of the R&B joints, easily.
Put It On Me?
Yeah.
It's always on time. Put It On Me, or either
what would I be Mesmerize.
You? He's the best karaoke rapper of all time.
Yeah, most of them. Yeah.
What's this joint he had with Ashanti?
Which one?
What would I be without my baby?
That's not Ashanti.
That's Lil Mo. No.
That's Lil Mo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same, I put it on me.
Yeah. Yeah. MJ listened to that today.
No, I
ain't gonna cap. Like, I should put my shit on shuffle and put it on me. That's what made me think about it. Yeah.
He's got a lot of hits though.
If 50 and him went in a versus, he'll beat 50
easily.
And it might not even be close.
I say 15-5.
Yeah,
11-9 at best. Still Ja Rule favorite.
Yeah. That's only because he'll play like how Gucci played like the diss song. Yeah. He'll play like Back Down. And I'm like, what are you gonna do?
He gonna smell. I smell
pussy. Yeah.
It's all man.
And that song not even that good. It's just a fact. Yeah.
It's just disrespectful.
Rest in peace.
So MJ, how was your Valentine's Day, man? Ja Rule.
Yeah, rest in peace. Oh. His last concert was at some living room party.
He just did the Fire Festival a couple of years ago.
Nobody did the Fire Festival.
No, people went.
The promoter weren't there, but
they been out there, and it was goddamn beach chairs.
He looked swollen on that Greek Euro commercial. Y'all seen? Y'all remember that? Anyway, yeah. How was your Valentine's
Day? All right, man. Went to my mama's house.
A Valentine's Day. God damn, Jody.
You know what's wrong with you? You got an Oedipus complex. You want your mama to be your woman, but here, this is my woman.
This is my woman.
Yeah, I ain't.
That nigga Melvin a problem.
I ain't doing much. Went to my mama's house and washed clothes, came back.
On Valentine's?
We asked you first and we thought you did something.
Yeah.
You got all this fucking red on.
Yeah, we beefing. No, I'm
just...
Yeah, all right, what's up? Cheesy, Chef Cheesy, I should say.
You feel me, though?
Might I add.
That was the worst fucking cake.
Hey, look.
Hey, that boy made a hot cake. I say that. That's the size of his heart.
Man, look, that nigga used his finger to... I like the thought.
I found that's out where I went wrong. Apparently, when you icing the cake, you got to dip the knife and water to keep it smooth and consistent.
Mm.
You know, I'm learning, but I'm finna. So we got a layer
spatula.
Yeah,
too.
we got a layer. Leave me alone.
he do that.
I got a grill spatula, but
that nigga trying to spend grand barbecue sauce. Hey, look,
nigga, you baking cakes for real.
I Amazon Prime the layer cake pan.
Okay.
For baking, I'm finna do something here in a minute.
Look, you posted that cake. I almost said delete this, bro.
You know what I'm talking
but like,
about.
But I like the thought. That was very
she
sweet.
Loved it. She loved it.
Look at
what I do? I cook, you know. She had I made ribs. Mm. I made ribs and I made jerk chicken. I made some cabbage.
Oh, shit.
You should have invited me.
Cornbread. No, cabbage.
She would have gave me some.
Yeah. For them funky ribs.
Let me stop.
Like we set up a little. She set up a fort in the living room. It was pretty cool.
That's fire.
And
that's fire.
Then we ate cake.
Drank
wine.
Drank wine. Okay.
That's cute.
What kind of wine?
Whatever. Stella Rosa.
Okay.
And then this other cupcake.
I just didn't know.
I drink like from bottles. No. Well, it was cool, man. We exchanged gifts. She gave me socks, drawers. But I was saying I needed that shit, so she gave it to me. Yeah. A bunch of candy.
She get you white drawers?
No, she gave me white socks.
She should have did that either.
Yeah, I mean, it's a gamble, but I think socks was better being white. And she got me like some sweats, and she created this like basket out of picture frames. It's pretty cool with okay. like pictures of us and, you know, basket. Oh, yeah, it was dope. Yeah, so
that's my thought process cool. ain't like I ain't creative.
I ain't either.
Here's a gift card.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or either that's, like I'll just buy some nice shit.
Yeah.
I gave her two pocketbooks. And stuffed them with candy. I mean, that's what she
yeah. did. Ain't nothing wrong
she
with
been
that.
Talking about getting a new bag, and you know, I went and got her a little
Birkin.
Got
yeah,
a little
that was that Birkin got sent you Birkin. Back. Burnett's bag, huh?
Target.
That's still expensive.
Yeah. Target, yeah. The Clarence collection.
Women love Target, though.
Yeah.
Clarence NYC.
What's your life was like?
So, on the actual day, we didn't do too much, man. I was under the weather the entire weekend. So, we just ordered takeout.
Yeah, the vid.
Nah, man. Just
Drewski said COVID.
COVID. COVID. Nah, I just had a cold, man. Nah, we ordered Chinese takeout, and we exchanged gifts, man. She got me a vinyl record player, which I have been looking at one for a minute.
Fire.
And then she got me Marvin Gaye's Greatest Hits, loved it. Bob Marley Greatest Hits, classic. And then got me J. Cole's Forest Hill.
Oh, that's dope.
2014, was it?
2014 Forest Hill.
Right? Yeah, she got me that. So and then I got her the pot and pan set that she been looking at and been wanting.
Was it cast iron?
You know what?
Nah, but it was not a stick.
You smart. Because you telling smart. Her to cook more.
Yeah. Nah, that's not what I'm
and
saying.
And wise man once told me, you never have to buy a woman a watch as long as there's a stove in the house that tells time. Mm. And it stuck with me ever since. I bought 3 watches.
And that's shit. Yeah. That's why you cook more.
And, I mean,
as long as
you better cook.
So I wanted to save Justin for last, because I knew that.
It's the extravagant.
Well, I went to work and I came home.
It's gonna be a 10-minute segment, yeah. In 2-minute increments. Yeah. Talk to us about the first one.
The dating game.
Take it away, Justin.
So on Valentine's Day, I went to work and then I came home. I jacked and then I went to sleep. The fuck, like, what you mean? What did I do? The fuck? I had to work that day.
This dude, Tom Walson, he FaceTimed me, Tom Walson. Which girlfriend you with tonight? I say, bruh.
I'm trying to ruin niggas' nights that night.
I put the camera on Blake. I say, this the one.
Yeah, like he ruined my joke. I was like, oh damn, hey Blake. She's so damn sweet. Like, happy Valentine's Day. Like, yeah,
that's my baby.
Yeah, like so I was trying to like I was being a dick on Valentine's Day. I was gonna call you next, but it got too late. So. And plus, I ain't feel like arguing with Jelena. I can't FaceTime you.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, you gonna have to
Facebook Duo.
Yeah,
I gotta do Facebook Messenger.
Google Duo.
Yeah, but
now
Skype. I didn't participate last year either. Did I?
I don't know. You had 11 girlfriends.
You what? What do you always say?
I only know single Justin.
Exactly, so shut the fuck up.
This my lady.
He's so damn contradictory.
Yeah,
damn.
This my lady.
Yeah.
Hey. Still single, though.
Nah, yeah. I mean,
this was a very chill Valentine's Day, man. I enjoyed it, though.
It's kind of hard when you can't go nowhere. You can't do nothing.
Yeah.
It forces you to be a little bit more creative than usual.
A little more loving, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to show it now.
Yeah.
You can't just like do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like some people are like, oh, we're gonna take it to Ruth Chris. That should be good enough.
Yeah.
Nah, you gotta show that shit.
Yeah. Gotta get creative.
Pamper your bitch.
So. Russell.
Yeah.
We were talking about
Russell. What's his name? Russell Smith called his lady a bitch.
You know what? No.
On the field.
He might be the lamest nigga I know.
Russell
Wilson? Yeah, easily.
Please elaborate.
No, I mean just as a person. I don't know him. Okay. Like, not for what he said, though, but I'm just saying, I just think he lame.
Okay.
I met him before.
Did he seem cool to you?
He was.
Exactly.
He was the high school jock in college. So, like, the typical teenage movies guy, popular guy, that's how he acts.
Plus, he a white man.
Yeah.
He you.
I'm more black. He more white. That makes sense.
Yeah.
He took after the white side, and they got vitiligo. They all look like B out and milk.
Somebody said this nigga was laying down in a puddle of goat.
That boy was laid.
Look, then one of them he had the little shit. He was pouring milk.
Yeah, I'm gonna get the fuck out of my face.
Talking about my cup running over. Leave me the fuck alone.
Like, that's a lot of wasted milk.
Yeah, it almost went over the edge. You like, yeah. Get your big ass out there today. You ain't made for that.
I know that ring was thick. Boy.
Well, bro, hey, what you do?
Hey, no, but look.
He had a plan.
So what was the controversy regarding Russell Wilson? Like, what did he say? Or
he said, and I quote, "He said his biggest fear in life is losing his woman." Mind you, I think this is a sports interview.
Okay.
And he said, "My biggest fear in life is losing Sierra."
That's love.
Yeah.
He cared more about losing Sierra than he cared about losing his life. Mm. That's love right there.
I don't know if he went that deep.
Yeah.
He said that was the biggest thing, the biggest fear that he had.
Well, he ain't scared to die.
White people ain't never scared to die.
You know, what makes me fuck with a man is because, like, you can just sense how genuine he's being at all times. Like, he ain't doing it for the clout. He's doing it for sure. Because, you know, Russell Wilson, he ain't stupid. Like, he see, like, people picking on him, niggas calling him a loser, like a Justin. Simp. You know.
I'm not calling him a loser because of that, though.
He's just saying he don't listen to Future, so he kind of lame.
Yeah. You think? So here, can I bring up something though? So one of the people I've seen hating on Russell, they kind of had a point, but they didn't. They was like,
depends on who it is. It's probably more didn't than they had a point.
So the issue was, they said the issue they had with it is because Sierra's a typical woman who want a bad boy, but when the bad boy kept doing them wrong, she went to the safe guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, and that was like, he's getting played. I'm like, I don't necessarily think he's getting played. He just won.
Mm-hmm.
He won.
Nah, I don't think he's getting played.
Maybe Sierra thought that's what she wanted and realized
that's not what she wanted. Yeah.
And maybe she's chasing the wrong kind of guys. And
exactly.
She found her one that adores her clearly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's fully invested in her. I mean, and she feels love, bro.
But I think a lot of women are like that. They start off wanting that bad guy or the guy that really ain't no good for them. And then after so many times getting fucked over.
Most good guys are ugly.
They want me and they end up with you. Yeah.
Justin, you turn out a lot of wives and girlfriends.
I do. Because I'm Future.
Justin Sloppy Seconds is a great wife.
Yeah.
Or girlfriend.
It's a fact.
This is...
They end up pregnant or engaged, yeah.
While you was in Germany. But we went down this list and...
They all happy.
They all happy without them.
So maybe I just gotta keep dogging them the rest of...
keep making great wives.
Yeah, but not. Yeah. But on a serious note, though,
you doing what God put you
on. God put me on this earth. To make great wives. But I really do feel like, genuinely, Russell loves that woman. And he genuinely wants to be with
her. There's no doubt
It's not a typical celebrity relationship.
I feel like we can write down the names of anybody or any nigga that's saying something negative about that. And there's probably one underlying factor amongst all of them. You know what I mean? There's like one common denominator amongst all these niggas. We're like,
they broke.
Probably.
They probably broke. They probably got baby mamas. And they baby mama fucking somebody else.
Like, I seen the post, what do broke niggas always have?
Time to say.
The nerve.
Audacity.
The nerve.
Yeah. Audacity, yeah.
Like, what defines a broke nigga? Let's break that down.
Because, like, technically...
I'm broke. We all broke.
If you seen that financial chart Lil Baby posted, and it said to be classified as poor, your net worth has to be between something and 500K. Like, what's three notches? What's four notches below that? Because clearly I'm below the 500.
I'm below.
We're living bad.
Yeah. Super poor.
But the thing is, like, my bank account might show low, but my bills are paid.
That's what I was going to say. Like, because if I only got $22.60 in my account, but I got $1,500 in stock options, and I got $25,000 in home equity, you know, am I broke?
I think it's more of a liquid thing. Like, do you have access to that money right now?
Yeah, I think that's...
Why he just shit on me, for?
Say what?
Why he shit on me like that? Fuck you.
MJ is right. Like, they're talking more.
Do you
more
have
about
it right now?
Yeah.
Like,
but here's my thing.
Can you go to your ATM?
Jay-Z might be worth, let's say, $3 billion. It's probably less than that. But let's say Jay-Z worth $3 billion. Do you actually believe he has that $3 billion in the bank right now to pull out?
No.
So to me, it's the same thing. How can you say I'm broke because I might have only $25 to my name to my next paycheck, but I have money in stock options, I have home equity, you know, like...
But we also talking about niggas, though.
Yeah, I think that's a... And it goes back to the initial question, what do you mean by broke?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
having $25 in your account, but having $1,500 in stocks or, you know, other investments... You're a different type of broke than a nigga that got $25 in account and not shit to show.
And 60 pair of Jordans in the closet.
Exactly. And
he rich.
Yeah.
And that's technical stock options.
Yeah. If he sell them, he...
Mm-hmm. Those collect value.
But like that interview I sent to y'all today.
That we didn't watch.
The dude was like, how you buy 60 pair of Jordans and not invest in Nike when you could have invested
that
money?
Is that an investment, though?
Huh?
Is that not an investment?
It's not a safe investment. You're right. It's not the way sneakers ain't. Because, like, being a sneakerhead is actually... You remember when we was in college and, like, being a sneakerhead was, like, you could really buy a shoe and sell it for, like, probably, like, $100 profit. Yeah. It's back like that now.
I think what he was saying was at one point during this pandemic, Nike had went down to, like, $90 a share. So, instead of buying a pair of Jordans that's $220... Shit, you could buy at least two shares of Nike, and we all know this shit is going to shoot back up, and you could have Nike paying for the Jordans or whatever that you want to get.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
Okay.
I mean,
he give us our stock tips, so we need to listen.
I'm just looking at it from a wider scope. Like, an investment is an investment no matter how you choose to invest, because you got to think, there's one main characteristic with every investment, there's some kind of risk involved. Right. So yeah, the buying the sneakers, you know, the dead stocks or whatever in anticipation of flipping them, there's going to be a risk with that, right, just as much as buying a stock or buying stocks in Nike, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's risk involved in that too. Who is to say that Nike stock is going to go up? Well, yeah, you look at the charts, you look at the behavior and the mannerisms of what happens.
Yeah,
but
not even the charts. You just look at niggas. Niggas is gonna buy Nike.
Whether
it's socks,
diamond tee.
Yeah, like Offset said, he brought Nike back. Tea. You know what I mean?
Offset need to.
Go sit his ass down.
Yeah, please.
I thought he would need.
Nah, let's take
Culture 3 coming.
Is it really? Yeah. It was a Ben Kane.
Yeah, it was like certified level last year, but they had. Yeah.
Fuck
everybody,
love
you, boy. Yeah, I can't wait.
Either way, Russell ain't bad. I applaud the nigga. Love your black queen the way you want to, black king or whatever y'all niggas be saying.
Yeah. Totally off subject. Would you rather another Drake and Future compilation album?
There's one word that'll
fuck you up.
That fucks with you hard.
That nigga said.
Volunteer.
Or
Drake and Travis joint.
A combination dinner.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm
taking Drake and Future easily.
Over Drake and Travis?
What the fuck made you even want to get
a Drake and Future?
I mean, the Drake got offended right then, D Black.
Drake and what's
he don't, he don't deserve Drake.
Travis? Huh? Drake and Travis?
The production is going to be way better than this.
But then he's going to try to rap.
You didn't like Sicko Mode?
No. No, but yeah. I did. Like, I did. I Drake like that album.
Drake didn't have a whole lot in that song, though, if y'all know that.
He did.
But to be real with you, he set the song off twice.
He did.
Like, the song wouldn't be what it is if it weren't for Drake. Because when it came on, Drake gave us that first little 30 seconds. Like, sun is down. Yeah, fire. Then when the beat dropped again, he set the song off again. You know what I mean?
I just think Travis, you shouldn't have asked that question.
You don't think that's a good question?
No.
Why are you in the mood to fight?
We literally said we thought about jumping y'all.
That's a solid question, man.
No, it's not.
I don't think Travis deserves it.
No, it's not.
So only Future is deserving of it.
No, I mean, it's more people, but Travis just not one of them.
Who?
Shit, I take
him and Raw shit that was supposed to come
I
out.
Take a Drake and Young Blue album before I take stuff. That Drake and Young Blue fire, bro.
Travis Scott production is gonna be
okay, and I'll just listen to Travis Scott with a remix of Justin Bieber or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cool with that.
I really don't get niggas' obsession with Travis Scott.
He's cool.
Now, he's cool, but I don't get the obsession.
That's white people's obsession with him. Yeah. They're keeping him afloat.
And I think it's because they do heroin.
Shut up.
He made music
for them to go to that fucking rave and pop ecstasy. Because
there's a lot of colors in his concert.
Yeah, that nigga brought a Ferris. He brought a Ferris wheel to PNC Arena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the type of shit he on. Good.
That's some Lady Gaga shit, nigga, like that. He got the same fans as Lady Gaga.
Yeah, same bitch.
Y'all disrespectful, man.
The same shit.
MJ, have you ever had a Cash App request or a Cash App sent to you that wasn't supposed to be meant for you?
No, but it's a daily prayer.
Daily
facts. Lord, please let this
50,000 come through.
How much money do you really have that you can accidentally send
right
50 grand?
Because I'm looking, I've got the like.
Can you even send that much through Cash?
I think it's five.
But either way,
I got to authorize twice before my joint even go through.
I go check my account before I send it. I did it today. I only sent you 25.
MJ has spent $15 to get a fraud alert. They're gonna be like, no way, this you.
The bad part is 20.
He been with Citizens Trust.
Now look, listen, like I said, I sent you 25 early, and I checked my account before I sent it, just to be safe.
I sent you 25, right?
Yeah.
All
right,
cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't care how much I can have 3,000 in my account and have to see you 25, and I'm still gonna check my account before I send it.
So Citibank mistakenly wired. Was it another company or was it an individual?
An individual.
I think it was an individual.
500K?
500 million.
500 million.
Yeah. I'm gone.
Yeah.
That bank
and they tried to get it back, and the person said, nope. Not going to do that.
Yeah.
Why would they?
And so they took it to court, and the judge was like,
slow. Yeah. Listen, that's better than the Powerball right there.
Yeah.
All they gotta do, depending on what kind of account it went to, all they gotta do is pull like 5 million out and just let the rest accrue that bullshit fucking interest. That's still gonna be a lot.
Yeah.
What? A standard checking account gives you what, 0.001%?
But I'm surprised actually flagged that transaction.
It was somebody that was about to quit.
I'm sure there's some technicalities behind it.
It was somebody that was about to quit. It's like, oh, I'm gonna show y'all.
No, probably they fat fingered one number.
Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think most banks have to do like some type of report if you have a transaction
over 10 grand.
Over 10 grand, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even if, let's say, you were to bring, because you remember I was in a bank.
Yeah.
If you come deposit $10,001, it's a whole report I got.
Yeah, that's the SNR.
They used to piss me off.
The suspicious activity report.
When I worked for Geico, I remember talking to you about it before. I used to hate customers where their fucking banks were state employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I would cut them the total loss settlement check, 12 grand, here you go. And then they talking about, I need an extension on the rental because the bank is freezing the funds
for 7 days.
And they just be like, that's your problem.
You chose that bank. Yeah. And what's crazy is, like, when I was in banking, like, if I saw it, no matter, because, like, I think, like, with me being a manager, I had a clearance of, like, 15 grand where I could clear a check without anybody's, like, approval. So, if I saw it, $12,000, okay, I'm going to go look around. But if I look in the system and I see 600 checks just like this with a sequential, like, check number, I'm going to approve it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold, like, one guy won, I think it was 150 grand in the lottery. So after taxes, I think he brought home 104. He was pissed off because he brought it to the bank and we couldn't clear it right away. Which, in actuality, he's right. We have to clear it right then. It's just nobody at the bank had the clearance to clear a check that big.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to call, like, the president of the region to be able to even clear it. But, like, it's just money is fickle. So I'm willing to bet, like, with the FDIC, for them coming from a bank to an individual, they probably didn't have to clear it. But if it would have been the other way around, it would have been a bigger, or like from person to person, it would have been a bigger deal. But coming from the bank to a person, they want nothing for them to stop.
I was going to ask, is it worse, or is it really not a difference with dealing with a bank versus like a credit union?
You get better looks as a credit union.
Okay.
So the credit union's main goal is to not make any money during the year. So they, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they can only make $1 during the year for the whole year.
Oh, shit.
So basically, you can get a loan way easier at a credit union than you will at a banking institution, because the banking institution, they're built to make money.
Okay.
So a credit union is going to do what they can to help you because they got money to play with.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Cool, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right, boy. Fuck them niggas.
So, just robbing niggas. Judas and the Black Messiah. Y'all seen that?
You look like Jonas. What's his name? What's his name?
So why y'all keep calling him Jonas?
Nigga, his eyes yellow.
Michael Jordan yellow.
Yeah, that nigga got kidney failure. That boy pissed building up his eyes.
Look at him pee.
That boy yellow.
And he
don't help that
he's like, you know, he said, you can kill the revolutionary, but you can't kill the revolution. Mm-hmm. I said, go off, bitch.
They killed it, though.
Chill.
They killed it.
Yeah.
Chill,
bro.
Nah, that's a solid movie. Yeah, I mean, Rotten Tomato, you know.
What'd they give it?
7 out of 10 would not recommend. I mean, I give it a 8.5, 9 out of 10.
I gave it a 10.
You'd watch it again.
I will have to watch it again. Hey, I want to
watch it again.
That brother William O'Neill was a smooth man, bro.
Cause bro, the way he flip flop during that whole movie, like, because he was for the Panthers. Like, you can tell he bought into the ideology of...
Yeah. And it was fucking with him, but
when they started shooting at the police and the police started shooting back, he was like, I am not with this shit.
Let me check the room.
I'm gonna clear the room. Yeah, that's the part that pissed me off the most, because I knew what was coming. Because he was like, yeah, I'm going to go do it for the room. I can get a better view from there. I knew he was just leaving them out to dry.
My thought was sniper!
Yeah. I was like, how the fuck he get out of the back? You would think that the police would have had the whole goddamn blocks around
him. And that's why I kind of gave it a nine. Some parts of it is like, I mean.
But it's also the 60s. You gotta understand.
There's 11 cops.
Police ain't had no tactics back then. Found a nigga, beat a nigga.
First of all, if I'm a cop and somebody throw a window up and go shh with a 12 gauge, I seen all of them, one, run around the cars and draw their weapon and not fire a single shot.
But we're also talking about, like I said, the 60s. At that point, we're talking about how many years. So I think that period of time is what made cops the way they are now.
What y'all do when Fred Hammond died?
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, he still made music, though.
Yeah, he made
we're not doing that. Look, I don't play.
On the against me.
Yeah, it's first day. Yeah.
That's not the same nigga.
I'll fight all three. I disrespect Fred Hampton. Fuck Fred Hampton.
What damn?
The man's gone?
Yeah, what he do?
No.
Like, I put him up there with Russell Wilson.
So Russell Wilson pray now.
Like, Fred Hammond is a fat Russell Wilson, you know what I mean?
Right? He heavy dude that do gospel. That's all that is. That's real good. Now that we found love, what a...
Hey, anyway, back on, to for life. Real, on the Judas and the Messiah shit, that white dude, he played a great role,
too. Somebody nigga from Like Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he always plays some fuck nigga shit.
Yeah, he do.
He and he's just so soothing.
And he's so ugly.
Like, he's in that movie Game Night. Yeah, y'all ever seen that?
But
it was like a creepy ass neighbor.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, in the movie, you can tell that originally starting out, like, he won't for this shit. Like, he was like, what are you, when he was talking to J. Edgar Hoover or whoever, he was like, what do you mean, sir? Like, what does this have to do with anything that we got going on? And he just brought, like, the same way William O'Neill, you know, brought into the Black Panther shit. He kind of brought into the idea of
COINTELPRO.
Absolutely.
Do y'all know, like, the whole, you know, because COINTELPRO lasted for a long time. Like, they have shit on Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. Anybody who had any issue where they felt like it was a threat to America, they had basically sex tapes of Martin Luther King Jr. Because that's how deep they were into, you know, their lives. You know what I mean?
That's crazy, bro. And like, I heard somebody say, like, they didn't kill Martin Luther King Jr. because he had a dream. They killed him because he woke up. Mm-hmm. Like, he tried to put everything that he was saying into motion. And when that started happening, it was like, yeah, we got to get rid of this nigga. Yeah,
same thing with Fred Hampton. He made Trailer Park Trash buy into him.
Right.
That boy can sell water to a well. You hear me?
Mexicans, other black gangs.
Yeah, like he he had the gangster disciples. He had Larry. He was talking to Larry Hoover.
Big Meech.
So, it was crazy because when he walked into the building, when he walked into the building with the crowns,
yeah.
I was like, "Oh, this movie about to be over quick."
Yeah,
because the crowns were like they was not ready
to play.
Yeah, he was like, "We feed 3,000." He was like, "And it still don't matter to what we do." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He was like, "Well, think about what we can do together."
Yeah, like he could, like, cause that nigga was not trying to hear his shit at first.
He had the gift of gab, bro.
That's not gift for gab.
Yeah, I would say gift for gab, but he had a unique ability to unite people of different races, cultures, backgrounds.
When he watched that white shit, I was like,
I said, this it.
This
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It had a Confederate flag up there. Yeah. And then the little gay boy from Moonlight got to talking crazy. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. The nigga from the Wu-Tang store?
Yeah.
The one that got shot in the store? Yeah, he got to talking crazy, like, yeah, about the little flag. And they was like, look, that's just part of our Southern heritage. He was like, no, that's about my cousin hanging from a tree in Tennessee.
Well, you can tell Brian going there on that type of time.
Yeah.
Nah, he went in there to let him know, look, we are the fucking same, bro.
Yep.
Just like y'all struggling, y'all can't make ends meet. You know, you feel as if the government ain't putting things in positions for you to better your community and yourself. That's how us niggas feel.
Yep.
Why not? We're not saying let's conjoin and become best friends, but why not, you know, go against the fucking oppressors together?
Yeah,
you get what you want. We get what we want. We go our separate fucking ways.
So I read up on all the, like, groups today. Like, well, the three main groups they had, the white people and the Puerto Ricans. So all three of them, like, so of course we know about the Black Panther, but the Puerto Ricans and the white people, they were pissed off at the government for basically, like, living in poverty and them not, like, basically denying them, you know.
The same thing.
Mm-hmm. So all of them were all for equality. You're talking about young Puerto Ricans in Chicago can't get away in the 60s. Because think about it, we're all still oppressed 60 years later. But you're talking about in the 60s, and then you're talking about white people who moved from the South up to Chicago thinking they were going to get a better life, which is stupid.
Yeah.
Very stupid.
I don't think they got a better life in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't see Chicago being like a destination.
Like, because
that's how Chicago is nice.
But I'm just saying, like, it's nice. Why would you go to a higher cost of living and almost die? Like, that's what I'm saying. Right. I don't understand it. But yeah, so for Fred Hampton to basically look out and say, hey, these people, even though they're different color of us, are just like us, and mm-hmm. we can unite these, that scared the fuck out of them, yeah. The government.
Absolutely. Rainbow Coalition.
And he told him, he said, look, he said, I am a revolutionary. Man, look.
Man. That when the part came, you know, of his assassination, I was just like, bro.
Did you know what was going to happen before he did it?
Wow. I heard of his name before, but never knew the story.
So I heard Murder in America, from Watch the Throne.
Yeah, what Jay-Z said.
He was born on the day Fran Hammond died. So that made me look it up like years ago. So I knew what was going to happen. So I knew the whole story and how everything was going to happen, but I just wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
So just like the little nigga from, he used to be on Geico, but he was on like that movie, that weird movie that the nigga from Atlanta was in, where like they was like doing like calls. Oh, or some call, shit.
Yeah.
The call nigga center. That got shot when they first got to the house.
Gotcha.
So when I saw him, I said, "Up, oh, it's about to go down." Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, the nigga drugged him and then they shot him twice in the head while he was asleep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the exact thing, same thing you heard in the background. It's the same thing they said in real life.
While his wife was still in the house.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were still in the house. But
99 shots. Only one came from them.
And that was the first nigga, right?
And that's because he got shot and it shot in the air. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he had his finger on the trigger.
He had his finger on the trigger, so when he got shot through the door, it hit the ceiling. But 98 other shots came from the police. Y'all see the one nigga got shot all in his knees and they told him to stand up?
Mm-hmm.
Like, nigga, his knees is bloody as fuck. Stand up. I'm trying. I'm shot. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, but they ain't respect us. That's why I want to join the Black Panthers.
They still don't
respect. I'll call Fred Hampton Jr. right fucking now. Y'all keep fucking with me. Shit.
<I am? laughs>
A revolutionary.
Nah, that was a good movie, man. I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah, me too.
Watch it again for sure. But what that movie did for me, though, if I'm being honest, it does, like, open your eyes to, like, the history that we don't know.
Exactly.
There's just so much history that that was eliminated from, you know, our learning growing up. Like, why the fuck are we not very well versed to speak on Fred Hampton?
What's the first, like, this is me being, like, so you moved to the States, you said you was like 14, right?
Mm-hmm.
When did you first learn Black history? Like, extensively? So, outside of your own research? College?
10th grade? Well, 10th grade. A little bit. We dabbled on it here and there, but not extensively. Mm-hmm. But if I have to be 100% honest with you, a lot of it came from self-teaching. Reading, right? And just like...
And the crazy part is like, I remember growing up in school and learning and hearing about Martin Luther King Jr., but I really don't remember them talking much about Malcolm X.
Were you in any school plays?
Yeah,
he was.
The Color Purple.
I just feel like they use you as a slave. Like, stand over.
I was about to say raising in the sun, but hey.
You was the raisin.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm about to say, definitely want this motherfucker in.
I'm a prune.
Nah, that motherfucker's, man, I can't think of that. You're a pomegranate.
Yeah.
what's the first time you learned Black history? Like I said, extensively,
you
outside of stuff that you did not look up yourself.
It's all looked up.
I would say,
it's all looked up, right?
All of it is looked up.
I would say, like, I did start learning this stuff, learning Black history at an early age only because...
Your dad was a Black Panther, right?
Now, my goddad, he was, like, very, like, pro-black, you know what I mean? So, he had me reading about Sojourner Truth at an early age, you know, and stuff like that. But actually, in the school system, I would say it probably wasn't until, like, middle school, and that's only because
we had Martin Luther King Day off from school.
And I feel like even throughout school, they only taught us the basics. They taught us Martin Luther King,
and they
only Harriet Tubman, and...
All people that don't, like... Shake up the system.
Yeah. And I think, I remember in seventh grade, lady named Miss Madden, I applauded, white lady.
Mm-hmm.
She taught us about apartheid and Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu and all that. And, you know,
and that was probably Social studies class.
It was social studies. And like, and I think she went out of her way to teach. Because I don't think that was a part of the curriculum for it. Yeah.
So I got a question for y'all. How do you guys feel about, you know, the school system now trying to implement, you know, like trying to have teachers, like every teacher come up with a Black History Month project for their students? I think in North Carolina, and I don't get if I'm wrong, let me know. But I think I'm not gonna say it's mandated, but it is encouraged, you know, by the Division of Inclusiveness and Diversity that these schools are now implementing these Black History programs and projects and all this shit to promote the learning. Of Black history.
Implement it in the regular.
In the curriculum all together.
Like, you tell us, hey, Martin Luther King did this. What was Malcolm X doing at the same time?
But here's my thing. Like, here's my thing. Like, there's enough Black history where you could teach it throughout the school
year. Yeah, that could be a course on its own.
Versus only...
Instead of it being Black history, you make it a part of history. Yeah. Because we had African American history as a class for one semester when I was in high school. A mixed woman taught it. But when I say mixed, I mean Russell Wilson mixed. She was more white than she was Black. And then she fucked the student, got fired. And then basically the rest of the semester was us watching Black movies.
He told. Glory. He told, didn't he?
The nigga? Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
He's lame.
Yeah, he lame as fuck. But that's what I'm saying. So like, right. But even before then, I...
Was she worth it? Yeah.
I mean, I'd fuck at 17, 18.
She was in her 30s, late 20s, mid-20s?
She was probably mid-20s.
Okay, just got out of college.
Yeah, but she was shaped like me though, like me now, not me back then. Cause back then I was skinny kind of, you know what I mean. But but my thing is, even before then, I really can't tell you what I learned before that. You know, with her, cause I even like looking back, I'm like, what could I have learned from her anyway?
Even segregation was dumbed down.
Exactly.
Yeah. They show that same water fountain.
Yep.
Yeah.
That same little
talking diner. About Brown versus Board of Education.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, so where you're from, and I felt like it's basically where you're from is a staple of racism.
I'm a transit town. Yeah, I'm a transit town.
Same thing with Elizabeth City, where we grew up. Yeah, you are a transsexual. But Elizabeth City was a transit town too. Yeah. And I do applaud also my what's the little history teacher, Reverend Foster?
Yeah.
Most of my history shit that year for that semester for him was all Black history.
Mm-hmm.
And I do applaud him for that because I just felt like that was like the first time I probably learned Black history extensively outside of like, you know.
Googling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like now I just randomly go look up shit out here in songs.
But it's just like one of our friends posted on Facebook this week that Harriet Tubman was actually married to a slave that was from Elizabeth City.
Yeah.
And she didn't know about that prior to, you know what I mean? She's from Elizabeth City. And didn't know that. You know what I mean? It wasn't until later on that she, you know, in life that she learned that. And I'm like, bruh, this shit is terrible, man. Like,
if you need a Black history teacher, Dr. Umar Johnson is who I
fuck that school, man. Like, no cap. But back to what you were saying, I feel like this is just them trying to make up for George Floyd and that whole, you know, situation. They're trying to include us now because of everything that's going on in the world. And I don't think that's fair for them.
Speaking
to
Speaking of George Floyd, police department, I wouldn't say in L.A., maybe, somewhere in California.
Oh, passing the Valentine's
card. Yeah, Valentine's card is talking about you take my breath away.
With George Floyd on it?
Yes.
What's wrong with you? Because I'll take your breath away, motherfucker.
You trying to take me on a date?
Nah, I'm gonna mean the show code, nigga. But now that, like,
all right. So I want to pose it to y'all from a. You gotta admit, as a group, we probably have dark humor.
Yeah, definitely.
The humor is dark. It's right. Wrong. 100% wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're talking about the LAPD. We know where they're.
That's the worst kind of people. Yeah, they sent pictures of Kobe in the helicopter on fire.
No, see.
Ain't that the sheriff department?
But that's the sheriff department. Yeah. But LAPD, that's Rodney King. That's
LAPD and NYPD, the worst two police departments in America.
Yeah.
Right behind Liz.
You also got to think they probably deal with the most in America.
They do.
But that, yeah, gang culture grew up there.
Yeah.
And as it should.
Yeah. Black, how do you feel like you would as a cop, you know, being a former police officer.
I wouldn't be for that
informant.
In one of those, you know, and not necessarily, I'm not going to say.
I'm sorry.
As a former informant.
I'm not going to say in
Shark City, everywhere, watch out.
Everywhere has crime, right? Yeah. Everywhere is crime. But I would say in a higher foot traffic area such as L.A. or New York City, where if it's their highest foot traffic, the probability of a crime occurring is higher and more often. Wouldn't you be a little bit more on edge, you know, versus how you were in Norfolk?
Yeah, I would be.
Which means how you respond to more situations will change.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. But at the same time, I feel like with those bigger metro areas, you know, they have more cops, and those cops have a district, have a precinct, or a certain area of responsibility that they have. So, like, to me, it's on them to get to know the people in their area. You know what I mean? It's on them to get to know their area. So, I understand, yes, in those higher crime areas, like, you're going to be more on alert, but at the same time, it's not like a cop in Harlem isn't patrolling all of fucking Harlem. They probably got a couple blocks that they're responsible for, so fucking get to know those people on those blocks. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just my take on it, though. Like,
because you ain't gonna just throw a nigga out here selling dime bags away just because they probably, more like if you threw him in the back of your car, it's because of something else he did.
Yeah.
Did you probably let him sell his little dime bags? I mean, that shit ain't hurting nobody.
So, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Or it's a waste of main
power. For a dime bag. Yeah. Absolutely.
Man, give me the stuff. Go on about your way.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, they gonna tell you who they getting this shit from.
Yeah. Because
they don't want to go to jail.
But my thing is, like, look, just don't even tell me who you get it from. Just stop selling in front of me. I'm here, nigga. Like, so with you being, like, a job where you run places, so, like, a lot of time, and then you also work at a job where motherfuckers steal from you. So you probably, do you trust the police to come and help you?
No.
You really don't?
I know when I call them, it's going to be at least 40 minutes. So I just rather, hey, man.
Why?
I know.
Why's the response time so? Because you sound black.
No, because of where I'm at.
Yeah, he on Capitol. But no. Shit, when we got traffic, robbed,
what is it?
Yeah, when we got robbed, it took them 2 hours to get there, and we in North Hills. You would think they would have ran there.
But I'm not sure if the area PD is shorthanded right now or not. But I know they don't come.
I just think Raleigh is really tired of us.
Yeah,
the Raleigh PD. Yeah, because like
if you inside,
when they keep going and doing dumb shit too.
Yeah.
You inside the Beltline, you might as well get ready to wait. Now, you being in North Hills, I don't know why it took them so long to be out.
I think what happened was we called them like, look, we just got robbed. They still there? No? All right, man.
Yeah.
Because they just knew they had to come to a police report, basically. Yeah. The little gay boy was traumatized, so he should have heard it. Like,
yeah.
He white and gay. You know, those are the two most protected people in the world. No, no disrespect, I'm just being honest.
Yeah, this is our last episode, season 3.
Oh man!
But now, like, dude, the police are just tired of us.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I know my wait is gonna be long, and then when I get there, they're gonna ask me 100 questions.
That they gonna date.
All right, look, man, don't even arrest them or look for them. Just here's what he looked like. You see him, tell him not to come back. That's it.
Yeah,
that's all I asked for.
Because you work in retail, they teach us don't get in the way, let them leave.
Yeah.
What the fuck, like? Yeah. And, but then the job wants you to file a report and call the police.
Yeah,
for
what?
And that's why I never understood. Even though I didn't complain, I never understood why Harris Teeter paid me $30 an hour to do security for them, because it's like. They
don't even want you to stop them.
Look,
you are just a figure, a deterrent. That's it.
And if they caught somebody in there stealing, they would just want the property back, and they wouldn't want to press charges.
Yeah.
The most they would do would ask me to
ban them from the store.
Do a trespassing letter.
Yeah,
saying that they couldn't come back in the store. But even if they did come back to the store, they'd be prosecuted. Yes, they're right there in the front.
That's it.
I mean, if I go, and it's usually at night.
You there for two reasons.
on the weekends, it was pretty much all day. So, like, we'll have two or three different shifts.
Because I go to that Harris Theater and the little sliding door open up. And I see y'all and be like, never mind, they got a roach in here.
They a Boston butt at the door.
You only there to make sure, one, nobody going that safe.
Yeah.
And two, if they steal.
Yeah, because at
I'm going to ask to see the grocery man.
At night, I used to have to escort the pharmacist down because, like, the pharmacy was upstairs. Like, this Harris Teeter had an upstairs and downstairs. Mm-hmm. So, like, at night, I had to escort the pharmacist and the pharmacy technician downstairs and shit. So. Yeah. And when they made their drops and shit, so.
Yeah, because they're going to,
I didn't call you a rope like 5 minutes ago, bro. He just going to let it ride.
Bro, I'm just trying to get through the episode.
You do look cocky.
Yeah. You say you look a little roachy.
Y'all ate me.
I hate these guys.
I'm tired too. Like,
I want to fight one of y'all. Don't care.
Hey, this a nigga in red. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm with it. Like,
you got red on. Man,
the hoops. I'm supporting black businesses, even though I think a white man on it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, last year as a community, we put 1.3 trillion into black businesses, and it only circulated. We spent 1.3 trillion in black businesses, and only 3% of that was put back into black communities.
So is that on the black businesses?
Yeah, they
fucking us. Everybody want Brazilian butt lifts, but don't want no black butt lift.
Yeah, wow. Bitch.
Okay, and with that, I did see something the other day. I see what you're trying to do. I see what you're trying to do.
Yeah. It ain't gonna work.
Nah.
I tried again.
You look like you the one with wings. You better leave me alone.
Yeah, somebody said you do like a starfish. Like I can see me going to Harris Teeter now.
Was that Tony?
But look, I seen somebody pose a question. Do we hold black businesses to a higher standard? You know,
than white businesses.
Yeah, because like they use an example.
We do.
You know, we go to McDonald's, they fuck a poor order. Guess what? Next week we're right back at McDonald's again. But you know, we go to a black business and they fuck up whatever the product was or the service was, you know what? I'm never going back.
This is why I don't deal with black businesses.
Why is that?
You want me to tell you why?
It's the same reason why we all prefer white doctors and shit like
that.
What's
that?
White dentist.
I actually prefer an Indian doctor.
Same shit.
I ain't gonna take you touching. I don't know her. But I do know her, but we supported her through college, and so I don't care what doctor works on me as long as I get fixed. But when McDonald's fuck up our order, what happens? What do they say to us? They say, sorry, let me redo this. Some of these businesses don't have very good customer service skills. When I mean business, black businesses. They don't have the wherewithal to say, hey, I'm sorry, let me replace this. They basically were like, look.
It is what it is. You ain't
and
got
that,
it.
And that's why some
people. Yeah, you don't need to come back. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. Because I've seen plenty, and this is not, and when I say this, this is more for the black women than it is anything, because I've seen a lot of posts where black women go to these black hairstylists, and these hairstylists are very fucking rude to them. Like, they're like,
They show up late.
They're smoking cigarettes in the salon. Yeah, they talking to their nigga in the salon.
Yeah, like, you're talking about, like, okay, you set an appointment for 2 o'clock. You don't get your hair done to fucking 4.
Yeah, they call him the weed man to drop something off. I mean.
And I've seen the text and all that, and I'm like, these bitches are fucking rude.
And, I mean, and that's not the entirety of it, though. I mean.
That was just my example.
It's more than that. Like. Ultimately, I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, I want you to be the next multi-billion-dollar corporation. I am going to hold my own people to a higher standard. Mm-hmm. Okay? You're trying to get to, you know, you make whatever. You got a little fish stand out here in Durham. You trying to get to a storefront. You ultimately want to put one here, one in Durham, one in Charlotte. You know, maybe another state at some point. Like, you gotta start somewhere. And I'm sure you're going to have to put some fucking work in. You're going to have good service. You're going to have to put out a good product. And you are going to make mistakes. And it's how you handle those mistakes, mm-hmm. you know, that helps your fucking, we call it a net promoter score. What is the likelihood of you coming back to my business?
My joint is 60.
That's very low.
It is. But good I got low. It up from 47. In 3 months.
I'm sitting at 100% right now. But and that's also related to survey culture and all that other shit. But, you know, you got to make me want to come back and give you an investment that I'm going to, you know, with my return, I'm going to shit it out in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You're going to charge me $18 for a fucking fish plate.
It better be worth that
$18. And not even just the taste. I expect, the, you know, the service and everything else that's coming with it.
Yeah.
Be top fucking notch, because again, in 30 minutes, I'm gonna shit this bitch out, and I'm probably never gonna come back to your raggedy ass fish stand.
Because, and I also think it comes with, because a lot of these people who do create these businesses were in retail before, and with us being in retail before, we're like, we're not gonna let a customer talk to me the way they did when
we were
basically the customer service representative, because People always say, like, oh, you know, you act like you the fucking owner. Okay, now I am. Now what?
Yeah.
What you going to do? Because you know me, if I become a black, I'm ready to scrap on everybody. But I also know if I want somebody to come back, I can't treat them like a fucking dog and think they're going to really come back. Because that one person you dog out, they're going to tell four people. Yeah. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Like I don't mind supporting businesses. I don't mind supporting anybody. I will give to whoever. I'll give people my last because I want to see everybody succeed.
Yeah.
Look, ladies, like, and this is, don't judge. I will give you $10 for your OnlyFans because I feel like you need it more than I do because you started this. Not trying to be funny. Yeah. I'm just being honest.
She said my generation made prostitution way, you know, we're way too comfortable.
Yeah. But my thing is, she started this because I felt like this is what she thinks she needed to do to get to, you know. So I'm here, $10, but I won't look at it.
And then here's another thing.
I don't even know if it's that they feel like they need it.
Well, I ain't going to say, but that's what I'm saying. This is their business that they started, so I'm like, here, it's $10.
I think we're in a time where shit gets trendy and people just like to hop on with whatever is trendy.
You know, I put my dick on the internet. One of us already did.
I refuse to believe that a lot of these women need OnlyFans accounts to survive and live day to day.
I've seen some of them.
Don't get me wrong. I believe there are some that need them, but the OnlyFans accounts that really are worth having, the females don't need that shit. They really don't need that shit.
But a lot of them, there's a lot of them making a lot of money. I know it's a girl from like where I'm from.
Yeah,
I think she said she made like $600 in 2 days, and she
what
basic.
I don't understand is every one of these females, if, like, you know, let's say you on Twitter and you actually go to their page, all of them are top 1%.
Yeah.
How help me understand.
I feel like OnlyFans has an algorithm where they show them a number to make them feel.
Help me understand the arithmetic behind this.
Make them post more, and it helps their self esteem because we don't help their self esteem.
So OnlyFans
is OnlyFans is
a form of therapy.
It's a form of therapy.
Form of therapy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm in the top 3% of creators.
And to go back to the business shit, what I was thinking about is Chick-fil-A has absolutely no problem giving you a $15 gift card if they fuck your order. Because guess what? You can come back, spend that $15 gift card, and then come back 50 other fucking times. And then come back 50 other times.
Yeah.
And they're going to recoup that $15 they gave you in no time.
And they also say my pleasure when they're done.
Which is like,
McDonald's been trying a thing here lately.
Yeah.
To reverse my NPS, I walk around with gift cards, like 10 of them. So I can't find this ball. You want to try this? Here's a gift card. so I'll pay for it. Just try it and tell me what you think. So I don't
like a substitute for whatever, like, but it's like,
but I already paid for it because I'm giving you the gift card for it. So yeah, customer service is everything. Like I got cussed out today for something I didn't do, but I was like, I'll handle it. And like, all right, thank you. And came back in. He's like, did you talk to her? And he see me talking to her. He's like, I just wanted to see, make sure you were doing what you said. He's like, I'll be back, because I was definitely about to go on Yelp. I really don't care, but
you support black businesses, right? And like I said, do you find the reason
Kim Kardashian?
He got a Tekashi 6ix9ine hat on right now.
That nigga said. He said he don't need his five when he in the club.
No, he don't need the security that got my five
in
the club.
Yeah. Fuck Tekashi, bitch. Yeah, him too. I can't wait for him to get blasted on.
We got anything else, Blight?
Yeah, man.
We got like 15 more.
Yeah, we got 30 seconds. Come on.
B. Simone and our expectation.
Can we cancel B. Simone? What's the next one?
She got good titty, though.
Does she?
Yeah,
you seen her OnlyFans?
She had OnlyFans?
No. Hell no.
But I know her book was stupid. But anyway,
we did it in here.
Yeah, it was that. But she basically was telling women that if you're gonna want this from men, you need to bring that to the table too. Because a lot of women expect more than they give, and I don't like it either. And that's why I'm single.
And then the other part of that is, do men set low expectations for women?
We do.
Contrary to popular belief, we want to be loved too.
Yeah.
We don't want to just dog y'all the rest of our life.
And I think, I also think it's natural because we're going into it knowing we're going to provide anyway.
Yep. That's what I was saying.
So she ain't got to have it all.
Yep.
Because basically it's bred in our DNA, especially as black men, to basically give 70 and get 30. Or maybe give 80 and get 20. Because, like, our grandparents did everything. Like, our granddads, anyway. Mm-hmm. Your grandma basically cooked and cleaned all day.
That's it.
Yeah.
And fucked. Like, that's all they did. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, and that's
why they had 12 kids apiece.
Exactly. Bruh,
that's
your,
crazy.
Your grandma had 12, but your granddaddy had 16.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Bro, that's crazy. And all then, people born in like the 30s and before, shut up, Chad.
I mean,
got like 10 kids.
Papa Was a Rolling Stone was a song for a reason. Yeah. Like, yeah. I think like my granddad is the only granddaddy without having, he doesn't have
granddaddy's a truck driver.
He probably did. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But the reason why men got away with cheating in the 60s and 70s because they brought. They did everything.
Yeah.
You can't tell that man to not go fuck another woman.
And women couldn't get jobs too, though.
And I remember that.
It was in that time.
So where... they had to do this thing called shutting the fuck up.
Now these hoes out here driving tractor trailers.
Yeah.
Like, I seen it all. One.
She had a goatee.
Yeah. Oh, I told y'all when I was on the way to, where was I going? Florida, I think. A woman pull up in the right lane beside me. And I'm like, oh, shit, she hauling a big thing, you know what I mean? And I hit her with the, like, two-door, bitch. You know what I mean? And she tuned it. I'm all excited and shit. And, you know, she sped off and I'm chilling. And she creamed the fucking exit. I heard, grrr, I said, that's why she need to go park. She need to go park this way. That's why we don't let y'all do shit.
Right. Her woman get her a big wheel. Her brother got one.
Yeah, MJ also said women shouldn't be referees and umpires and shit like that before the episode. But I told him we won't.
I ain't gonna lie. One
of
them women referees made me lose $200 2 weeks ago, and I'm still pissed off about it.
It wasn't her fault.
Her name was Sarah something. I can't remember what her name was. She was kind of thick, too. But. And she had a mask on, but I just knew she was fine on the sideline. You seen her. She was blonde. Yeah. But she was making some terrible pass interference calls that week. And, yes, I cut the camera. I'm going to fight this motherfucker. on everything I love. I said, boy, fuck you with your cash. Well, I'm mad as hell. I've been baloney ever since.
What's the moral for the night, man? What's the wrap up message?
Love your woman and stop worrying about how you love your woman. Just love your woman the way you want to love your woman.
Good night.